All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the Old Testament, to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 4. 2 Kings, chapter 4, for the message this morning. 2 Kings, chapter 4. I want to read a story that happened in the life of the prophet Elisha. And we're going to jump into the story about the middle of it. And I think there's some things here that will bless your heart. I hope they are going to bless your heart. But let's begin reading in chapter 4 and verse 18. Chapter 4, verse 18. It's good to have Mrs. Carlson here today. Always good to see her. Amen. And Mrs. Carlson had a lot to do, just about everything to do with the starting of Carroll Christian Schools. And so it's always good when she can be here with us. And we love her dearly. All right, let's begin. Verse 18, it says, "And when the child was grown, it fell on the day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, My head, my head. And he said, the dad said to a lad, to one of the workers that was there, carry him to his mother." Now that's just like a dad, isn't it? All right, that's just like a dad. Dad doesn't know what to do. I mean, let's be honest, dad doesn't know what to do. Take him to his mother, she'll know what to do, right? All right, so carry him to his mother. All right, so let's read and find out what happened here. In verse 20 it says, "And when he had taken him, he brought him to his mother. He sat on her knees till noon and then died." Wow. What happened to this boy? Well, he probably had a sunstroke. I mean, I don't know. Elisha does not tell us. But he probably had a sunstroke. If you'll see, "my head, my head." He was having a headache, severe headache. And they took him to his mother, and he sat on her knees until noon and then died. Now what? Look at verse 21. "And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out." Now, let me take you back in the story a little bit. Make sure you understand what's happening here. This woman was a woman who lived in the little village of Shunem. She was good to Elisha one day and kind to Elisha, and Elisha was impressed with that and basically asked her, "What would you like for me to do for you?" And she said, "Well, I don't have a child. I would like to have a child." So he prayed, and God gave her a child within that year. And so she built on, her and her husband built on to their house a little apartment. And this little apartment was for the man of God, for Elisha, to stay in whenever he was in the area. He didn't have to ask. He just would show up, and he could sleep, he could stay, and she would provide for him while he was at that apartment. So what she did when her son died was she carried him upstairs and placed him in the bed where Elisha would sleep had he been there. And then she went out. Now, where did she go? Well, she went to find Elisha. Now, don't forget, this boy was an answer to her prayer and was a child of promise, so to speak. And so now the child dies. Well, she's going to go get a hold of Elisha and find out what the problem is. why is this boy dying? What's the deal? All right, so let's read what happened. Verse 22, it says, "And she called unto her husband and said, Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again." So she's going to go find Elisha. All right, look please at verse 25. It says, "So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi, his servant, Behold, yonder is that Shunammite." So Elisha is sitting up on a hill. He can see her coming off in a distance. And he says to his servant, "Look, there comes the Shunammite gal. Wonder what's up." All right, so look at verse 26. "Run now," so he's talking to Gehazi, his servant, "I pray thee to meet her and say unto her, Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, It is. And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away, and the man of God said, Let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord hath hid it from me and hath not told me." All right, so here's what happened. He's sitting up on this mountain, and he's on Mount Carmel, and he sees her coming. He says to his servant, "Run down there and see what is wrong. Something's wrong. She would not be running towards us if there wasn't a problem. Go find out what it is." So the servant gets up and runs down there and stops her and says, "Ma'am, is everything okay?" She said, "Yeah, everything's fine." "You got no problem?" "Nope, got no problem." And she just blows by him. Now, question, why didn't she tell the servant she had a problem? Well, she didn't want the servant. She wants the man of God. She doesn't want to mess with the number two in charge. She wants the number one in charge. "Oh, yeah, everything's fine." Right past him she goes. Runs up the hill, grabs the prophet around the feet, and won't let go. She wants the guy that's in charge. All right, so look at verse 28. It says, "Then said she, did I desire a son from my Lord? Did I not say, Do not deceive me? Then he said to Gehazi, Gird up thy loins." Now, here's what happened. For the sake of time, Elisha told Gehazi, the servant, "You take my staff." Remember, Elijah and Elisha both had done some mighty things with that staff, that shepherd's staff in their hand. And he said, "You go down and lay my staff on that boy and raise him up." So he went down, laid the staff on the boy, nothing. He got nothing. It did not work. So Elisha had to go down himself, and he did. In verse 32, it says, "And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. He went in, therefore, and shut the door upon the twain and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child, put his mouth upon his mouth, his eyes upon his eyes, and his hands upon his hands, and he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm." So Elisha brought the boy back to life. Now you see why mom did not want to stop at the servant. Just go right past the servant and go to the man of God. All right, so verse 35. "Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro and went up and stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed seven times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, Call the Shunammite. So he called her, And when she was come in unto him, he said, take up thy son. So in other words, Elisha brought the boy back to life. That's the story. All right, now go back to verse 19. And here's the little phrase that I want to speak on this morning. The dad said, when the boy got sick, carry him to his mother. All right, let's pray together and in the message. Carry him to his mother. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. And I pray your blessings upon the word of God as I preach this morning. I ask you, Father, to help me as I speak. I want to be a blessing and I want you to use me. And I pray that you will do that in a great way. Speak to every heart. I pray you'll speak to the mothers. I pray you'll speak to the fathers. I pray you'll speak to the children, to the sons and daughters. And Father, help us to realize the influence of mom. Bless now your word. Encourage us in it. And we will thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right. I want to speak to you from that 19th verse where it says, carry him to his mother. As I already mentioned to you, Elisha was treated very graciously and kindly one day by this woman who lived in Shunem. And it caused the prophet to react to her in a very gracious manner. He basically asked her, told her that he would do for her as a returning gesture for her, for the kindness that she had shown unto him. I'll do whatever you want. And so she had been to that point unable to have a child. And so Elisha promised her that a child was coming. And sure enough, just as he had said, that child was born. This is that child that we are reading about now in this chapter who has passed away. All right, so the child is now a young boy and he goes to work with his dad in the field. While they were in the field, the boy complained that his head was hurting and that he was unable to continue working. And so the father did what men are notorious for doing, and that is, he said, carry him to his mother. Dads, we just don't know what to do in times like that. When my kids got sick when they were little, I didn't know what to do. I would just send them to my wife. I would go, Karen, one of them's sick. Karen, one of them's this. Karen, one of them's doing that. When our girls when the twins were growing up, one would get sick, and 15 minutes later, the other one would get sick. Same illness. It was amazing. And I remember one time, she was gone, and I was watching them, and Leanne got a jawbreaker or something. I don't remember what it was, but it was a piece of hard candy, and she was only about 4 or 5 years old, something like that, and she got it stuck in her throat, and she was trying to bring it up, and it was stuck, and I did not know what to do. And I grabbed her, and I'm holding her like a football and running through the house. And I ran outside. There was a family that lived in the apartment. Their house had burned down, and they were living in the apartment above the garage at the church. And I'm screaming, Dot. Her name was Dot Alley, and I was screaming, Dot, Dot. And Dot came out the door and met me halfway up the steps, and I just handed her to Dot. And as soon as I handed her to Dot, poop, the thing came right up and everything was fine. I didn't know what to do. And I panicked. I'll be honest with you. I panicked. That's what I do in emergencies. But carry him to his mother. You see, us men folk, we don't have a clue when it comes to matters like that. We just don't know what to do. And so carry him to his mother. And so they did carry this boy to his mother. But even in mother's care, the boy died. But folks, wait a minute. You must remember this boy was a son of promise. And this mother was a woman of great faith. So the fact that the boy died, yes, I'm sure it startled her, but it did not cause her to give up complete hope. She knew exactly what to do. When the boy passed away, she took him upstairs and she laid him on the bed where the prophet had slept, and then came back down. You kind of get the impression, very calm and very reserved, and went about executing the plan that she came up with, and that was to go and find Elisha, the man of God, and find out what God was doing in this matter. And so that's exactly what she did. She went to find Elisha and to ask him why her son had died, and ask him what he was going to do about it. Now, just to cut right to the chase, Elisha came to the boy and was used of God in a miraculous way to bring this boy back to life. But for the sake of the message this morning, I want you to go back to that statement that was asked by the father: carry him to his mother. Does that not sound exactly like a man? I mean, who among us this morning does not have a memory of being carried to your mother? Man, I have a lot of those memories. I remember one time in the third grade, we were out playing one day after school, and we came to a spot where we wanted to get over on the other side of the creek. And I remember standing there assessing the situation, thinking, I can jump that. And so I took off running, and I could have jumped that, except for when I took off, my foot slipped, and instead of going up, I went straight. And I slammed into the creek bank, and when I did, I hit it in just the right way so that I dislocated my elbow. Now, I'm telling you, when that happened, it just popped up on. I mean, I just had this part of my arm setting up here on my... Yes, it was awful. Some of you are grimacing. Yes, that's what I did. And we were about probably, I don't know, maybe 1,000 yards from home. But I remember, I had my arm out like this, and I'm running towards home, and I remember, I don't know how she heard it. It's like she had a sixth sense, and I don't know how it happened, but here came my mother, met me about 500 yards from the house. Come running down the hill. I can still see her in my mind's eye running down that hill. And she grabbed me up in her arms and ran back up the hill, put me in the car, and took me to McMillan Hospital, where they set my arm and put a cast on me. Oh, listen, Mom just knew what to do. I remember my dad standing there going, you know, like us men folks do. But I remember Mom had the situation well at hand. Who among us does not have a memory of being carried to his mother or to her mother? I mean, when you were stung by a bee, when you fell on the asphalt and skinned your knee, when you had that wreck on your bicycle. I mean, all of us at some time or another can remember being carried to our mother. And isn't it just amazing how God has placed within Mom the wisdom to know just exactly what to say and what to do to take away the pain. Somehow, Mom just knows how to comfort the heart. She knows somehow how to ease the sorrow. She knows somehow how to get the pain to go away. Dad cannot do it. All Dad can say is, take him to his mother. Mother will know what to do for him. You see, folks, if there's one thing we learn as we go through life, we learn that mom is a counselor. Mom is a psychiatrist. Mom is a doctor. Mom is a nurse. Mom is a scholar. Mom is a comedian. Mom is a friend. Mom is a playmate. Mom is a crisis solver. Mom is an educator. And mom is a magician, all rolled into one amazing person. Oh, thank God for mothers. I mean, she wipes away the tears and she takes away the pain and she strengthens the weak and she lifts up fallen spirits and she cheers us on to victory. Thank God for mothers. You see, even the Lord Jesus knew how much influence mothers could have, for it was his mother who pushed him into starting his earthly ministry in John chapter 2. And how much influence was Mary in our Lord's life? Well, folks, I remind you that when he hung on Calvary's cross, he looked down upon the crowd and saw her standing there with John by her side. And what came out of his mouth was words to John and Mary, where he said, "Woman, behold thy son, son, behold thy mother." He made sure that Mary was provided for by his dear friend, the Apostle John. Carry him to his mother. Now let's think about this phrase for a few minutes this morning. And I suppose that there would be many times when a son or a daughter ought to be carried to his mother. I would think that there would be in life. But let me give you a couple of thoughts this morning on this Mother's Day. Number one, carry him to his mother when he needs faith in God. Carry him to his mother when he needs faith in God. I wonder how many of us would be here this morning if it were not for the prayers and the godly leadership and the godly influence of a Christian mother. You know, many a grown man have come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ for their salvation because a godly mother would not give up on her child. Mothers have an influence when no one else can or when no one else does. Maybe your husband is unsaved. Well, do not despair, Mom. Your children have a better chance of turning out pure and good, faithful servants for God than if the situation were reversed. You see, you carried that child in your womb for 9 months. It was you, Mom, who held that baby on your chest when that baby was delivered. It was you, Mom, who fed that baby from your own body. It was you, Mom, who changed the diapers and who rocked them to sleep at night and during the day. It was you, Mom, when they were helpless and could not do anything for themselves, you were right there and guided them through every single moment. That being true, your children will never escape your influence. It behooves you to stay faithful. It behooves you to stay close, to stay true to your convictions and to your children, or to allow your children to see your faith and see Christ in your life. Without a doubt, Mom, you have more influence than anybody else. You remember that. Let me illustrate. Back in the 70s, and I told this in the first service and I got chastised for it, so I'll probably get chastised again, and you'll find out why in just a moment. But back in the 70s, in the early 70s, when I was in high school, I'm just going to say it, I was a Steelers fan. God. Yeah. That threw you over the edge, didn't it? Yeah, God's forgiven me for that. I want you to know. You can be forgiven for that. But that was the only thing we had on TV. You either watched Pittsburgh or you didn't watch football. And so I was a Steelers fan. And I apologize. I've seen the light, and I understand. All right, but I remember it was a playoff game, and this was one of those games, you know, where it was just every play was important. And it's late in the game. I mean, it's do or die. And I remember that the ball was snapped. And the quarterback turned around and he handed the ball to the running back. And the running back hit that hole. And as soon as he hit that hole, the steel curtain was there. Jack Lambert and Mean Joe Green, bang, they hit that running back, just stopped him dead in his tracks. And they lifted him up in the air, pushed him backwards, and then dumped him on his back. And they jumped up, and man, everybody was coming. I mean, that was the play that saved the game. And everybody was coming and slapping them in the head, and they were slapping each other, and they were running off the field, and they had that camera right in their faces as they came off the field, and you could just see the enthusiasm. Everybody on the team was waiting on them, and they all just converged and slapped them in the head and slapped them on the back and pushed them and shoved them, and it was just a moment of great excitement. And Jack Lambert walked over, and they got the camera on him the whole way. And Jack Lambert walks over, and he rips his helmet off, and blood is coming from a cut right across his where he got cut across his nose, and blood is coming out of his mouth, and he's grinning from ear to ear, and he had no teeth. Oh, he had them knocked out earlier in the year, you know. And so he rips that helmet off and he throws it down, and his hair's everywhere and the sweat and the blood. And he looks at the camera, and the camera gets right in on his face. And Jack Lambert goes, "Hi, Mom." Isn't that something? Why didn't any of them ever say, "Hi, Dad"? No, they don't give Dad anything. It's always Mom. And you know what they're saying? They are saying, hey, to the person that is the most important person in their life. That's Mom. Mom is the most important person. He was saying hello to the one person who meant more to him than anybody else on the planet. They never say, "Hi, Dad." Oh, no, nobody cares about all the hard work and sacrifice that poor old Dad makes. No, they always say hi to Mom. And Mom will never lose that influence over her children. Now, you listen to me. You'll never lose that influence, Mom. And oh, that you would use that influence to lead your children to a close relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me remind you, Jesus said, "And for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife." And I'm telling you, many a marriage has gone sour and is ruined because it is so hard for a man to leave mother and cleave to his wife. And many a mother-in-law cannot stand their daughter-in-law because mother feels that she has just ruined her son. The point is, Mom, you'll never lose your influence. Never. Second thing I want you to see. Number two, carry him to his mother when he is tempted. Carry him to his mother when he is tempted. I don't know how many children have been tempted to sin, but they don't because they keep seeing their mother's face in their mind's eye. The Apostle Peter said that we resist the devil when we're steadfast in the faith. Oh, that we would have godly mothers who would instill the faith into their children. We cannot wait until they have done wrong and sinned and then teach them. No, we need to teach them now. before the fact, so they know what is right and what is wrong. Solomon said it this way in Proverbs 22:6, train a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart. Carry him to his mother. Why? Well, to let her influence keep him pure. That's why. Let her influence keep him pure. I've heard preachers preach sermons on where is the Lord God of Elijah? And then I have heard preachers turn it around and say, where are the Elijahs of the Lord God? But I got a question for you on this Mother's Day. Where are the Marys today? Where are the Lois and Eunices today? I'm telling you, folks, we would have more men like Elijah if we had more mothers like Mary and like Eunice and like Lois. Because you see, no child wants to disappoint his mother. So mother, use your influence. Use it for the benefit of your child. Use it for the glory of God and to help your children as they go through life. Then number three, I want you to notice, carry him to his mother when he is scarred by sin. Carry him to his mother when he is scarred by sin. You see, sometimes nobody else wants anything to do with him. You know? Sometimes sin makes him repulsive to others. But isn't it amazing how even in sin, mom will still be there? That's amazing, isn't it? Carry him to his mother when he's scarred by sin. In other words, when it looks helpless, when it looks hopeless, when everyone has given up on him, mom will not give up on him. Mom will somehow have faith in his recovery. That's how it was with the mother in our text. You see, she simply would not give up. She simply would not quit. She would not refuse to believe that her son was gone. She was not about to give up on her son. That's what happened here when she came. She went to find Elisha. And then the servant came down. Can I help you? Is there a problem? Do you need something? Nope, I'm good. Just going to see the man of God. And pew, right by him she went. She runs up the hill and she wraps her arms around him. What's the deal here, Elisha? You said I was going to have this child and now he's gone. What's going on here? Explain to me why my child is dead. And Elisha had to go to God and said, well, you know, God, I didn't know this was coming. I didn't know this was going to happen. So God, you got to do something here. You see, she just would not quit. She would not give up. She did not refuse, she refused to believe that her son was gone, and she was not about to quit on him. And that is exactly what mother will do. You see, sometimes mother is the only place where you can take a sin-scarred soul. Everybody else will say, nope, he's not welcome here. I've done all I can do. I'm not about to do any more. But mom will be the last one to give up on him. Several years ago, I was preaching at a church in Alabama for a SWORD conference. And pastor came to me and he said, after church, one of my members, and he gave his name, is going to take you to dinner, going to get you something to eat, and he'll take you back to your room tonight. And I said, okay, fine, thanks. So this man got me after church and we got in the car and started the restaurant. And I said, what do you do for a living, sir? And he said, well, believe it or not, I'm the warden at the state penitentiary here. And I said, oh, wow, what a job. He said, yep. He said, it's pretty amazing. He said, we have some of Alabama's finest in our prison. I said, yeah, I bet you do. And I said, well, tell me about it. What's it like? And here's what he said. He said, you know, preacher, when a prisoner first gets into our prison, the letters pour in. He said, the first one to stop, though, are this man's friends. Because you see, their friends are not really their friends. You realize that, right? So I'm going out with my friends. Yeah. Really? Those friends will bail on you first chance they get. Better be careful. And he said the first ones to quit writing are the friends. He said then, secondly, behind the friends are the brothers and the sisters and the aunts and the uncles. They quit writing just shortly after the friends. And then he said after a little while, then the children of the inmate, they stop writing. And then after the children, when no one else is still even bothering, the wife, believe it or not, will finally stop writing. But then the warden looked at me, and here's what he said. He said, but then, preacher, you need to understand this. He said, this thrills me. The mother never stops writing her son. I said, really? He said, never. Isn't that amazing? When everybody else gives up, mom never gives up. And here's what he said. He said, the only way mom quits writing is for mom to die. What's the point? The point is, carry him to his mother, because mother will never give up. Carry the sin-scarred boy to his mother. Why? Because out of every other person on the planet, it is her influence that has the best chance of turning him back to God. Carry him to his mother. Why there? Why to her? Because her strength can lift him up and help him walk again, just like in our text. When he is scarred by sin and abandoned by everyone else, carry him to his mother. He might have burned every other bridge, but mother will still be there. That you can mark down. So let me ask you, Mom, are you living the kind of life that can make your influence the kind of influence it ought to be? In the life of your children, there is no one else who carries the impact and has the influence than you have. This Mother's Day is the 40th Mother's Day since my mother passed away. April the 10th. 1978, my mother passed away. Massive heart attack. She died on the doctor's table. She wasn't feeling well, went to her doctor and died on the table. Massive coronary. And that was 40 years ago this last April. This is the 40th Mother's Day without my mother. And I can tell you this. I can tell you this. I know this for a fact. I wish with everything that's within me, I had my mother here to honor today. I wish I had her here. I wish I could put my arms around her and thank her for everything that she did for me. I wish I could do that. I wish I could just look in her eyes and tell her how much I love her. And so, if you still have your mother here, would you do more than just send her a little text message? Would you do more than just give her a little card? Would you put your arms around her today and tell her how much you love her? Because you see that influence, you're going to miss it one of these days. You'll miss it one of these days. Carry him to his mother. She'll know what to do.